Hi. Whew, it's been a while since I've been up here. Thank you. Some of you have no idea what that means. I was on staff here at New Life for about 14 years and have since, then I retired. But I don't know if you ever retire from serving the Lord, but anyway, from working in this place. And in context, you need to know that I have been working for the regional MLA, Simon Gibson, since 2013. And when people say, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, God took me out of the church and put me right smack dab in the middle of the city. And those of you that have worked with me before in the church here know that my heart really beats for those that don't know the Lord. And so Simon's office is located on First Avenue in Mission. So as you are maybe familiar with that area, it is right smack dab in the middle of the city. And we see all kinds of things every day, a lot of homeless, a lot of people struggling, and man, lots of opportunity to make a difference. So happy to be there, but really happy to be here this morning. Yeah. So when Pastor Nathan called and asked me to preach, and he's done so on a number of occasions, and those of you in the know that I haven't been up here. That means most of the time I say no, because if you're working full-time, it's a lot of work to prepare a message and, you know, and do that on top of working full-time. But this time, I knew that I needed to say yes. And then, as I was praying about it, and I said, well, God, if you're telling me to say yes, then what do you want me to preach on? Because then it's your business, and if you want me to preach, then what do you want? And it was as clear as day that I needed to preach on meditation. And I knew why. You see, when you're smack dab in the middle of the world and outside of all of just working in the church and with church people, a lot of times you get focused on, you know, churchy kind of stuff, and you're kind of preaching to the choir. When you're in the world, you see a whole lot of different things, and, you know, the first time the meditation thing came to mind was when we were camping last fall, and we, you know, those of you who know us know that we have a cabin out in that Princeton area, and so you keep seeing the same people who also have cabins in that area, and a close friend of mine, who I've known now for almost 10 years, and we do campfires together, so, you know, you share your life, they know what I did and who I am, and they know that I'm a Christian, and they are not, and, you know, whatever, and we're good friends and have a lot of fun together. And she comes up to me in September on a long weekend, and she said, Jean, I've decided to become a Buddhist. Well, I was like, because I've been telling her about Jesus. And I said, and why is that, Fern? And she went on to say, I'm not sleeping well at night, I'm stressed, my job is too much for me, I just can't cope with anything, and it has to stop, and I know that Buddhism, those people have found the way. So I'm going to go there. And I bought the little book and whatever. And I said, and what does it mean that you don't think that Christians know how to find peace? Then there was another occasion where I had communication and spent some time with a cousin in Holland. Traveled with them a little bit. Marianne said to me, my next trip is going to be to India. I'm going, India? Yeah, because, you know, they have all those little Buddhas everywhere. And it's so peaceful there. And I want to find that peace. So I think I want to go there for my next trip. And then old Evan there, he had it right. Yoga's so popular right now, right? Everywhere you go, you see yoga.
People are even, you know, building rooms in their houses for yoga. And I got to read this because this was new to me. Unplugging camps. And people needing headspace. And you know that terminology of carving out space for yourself. There's this whole mentality right now in the world of finding peace, of getting rid of stress. Like, that's why I want to preach this morning, my friends. Oprah, okay? She's one of my people that I read because I think she does a lot of good in the world. But you know what? It's just positive thinking. At the end of the day, it doesn't give any kinds of substance to really long-term peace. She calls it vitamins for the soul. Kind of empty. Maybe for a little while it'll help you, but long-term it's not going to work. And, you know, on First Ave and Mission, what do I see? I see people choosing the drugs of their choice to try and find that peace, to find the tranquility and meditation. I titled this message, Should Christians Meditate? Because I just mentioned all this stuff in the world. And then you kind of go, well, then we want to be a little scared of that because then we're going to like try all this stuff too. And you know what, my friends? I think we as Christians are looking to a lot of the ways of the world to self-medicate as well. We're not finding the answers where we're supposed to find them. So should Christians meditate? Absolutely. Absolutely. This morning, we're going to look to see if God, meditating on God and His Word is something that Christians should do. And if so, will it provide the peace and the direction that you're looking for in your life? First of all, we're going to look at, should we meditate? I'm going to give some substance to that. Secondly, how do we meditate? And lastly, what are the results of meditation? So let's look at, first of all, should Christians meditate? And I'm going to base some of our thinking this morning on Psalm 1. And I believe it's on the overhead, and you can follow along in your Bibles with me, or you can follow along up there. And the first three verses of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And this is the result. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, prospers. Is it wrong to meditate? Should Christians meditate? Whenever the idea of meditation is taken seriously, there are those who assume it is synonymous with the concept of meditation that comes out of Eastern religions. The two ideas are quite different. Eastern meditation is an attempt to empty the mind. Christian meditation is an attempt to fill the mind. Eastern forms of meditation stress the need to become detached from the world. There is an emphasis upon losing personhood and individuality and merging with the cosmic mind. There is a longing to be freed from the burden and pains of this life and to be released into the impersonality of nirvana. That means emptiness. Personal identity is lost, and in fact, personality is seen as the ultimate illusion. There is an escaping from the miserable wheel of existence. There is no God to be attached to or hear from. Detachment is the final goal of Eastern religions. Christian meditation, on the other hand, goes far beyond the notion of detachment. There is a need for detachment, yes, from the confusion all around us, to have a richer attachment to God. Christian meditation leads us to the inner wholeness necessary to give ourselves to God completely. We must go on to attachment. We are filling our minds with truth revealed in His Word about the goodness and the glory of God. There is substance to our meditation. And that's an important distinction. For a passive mind is an invitation to enemy invasion. Do not play around with unbiblical meditation. I want to repeat that. Do not play around with unbiblical meditation. It is the devil's playground. For he then, the devil, can fill your mind with things that are not truth. When we are told to meditate in the Scriptures, it is to focus on God and His direction in our lives. We're all looking for that state of inner peace and hope and find direction in our lives. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Christians should meditate, that the Bible does instruct us to do so. But let's take a look at how that's done, and maybe even to say, okay, you can say that, Gene, but where's my biblical precedent for meditation? Well, all the Psalms, list a whole bunch of them, and all through it, 58 times in the Bible, is it talking about meditation. The world thinks it's invented something brand new here. It's not new. God thought of it. It's in the Word. But how we do it and how we go about it is a different story. The Psalms talk about how I love your law. I meditate on it day and night, or all the day long. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I do not depart from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. All because they're meditating on the word. So the Bible talks about it. Leaders also modeled it for us in the Scriptures. I'm just going to do a quick kind of, you know, when you look to people who model a certain behavior and you say, I want to emulate that. My favorite one is Joshua. Joshua, and I just marked it here. I don't have all these passages because I'm gonna go really quickly through it. You know, Joshua, the leader that followed Moses, he had to go into Canaan and conquer all those Ite people, okay? And this is God's instruction to him in order to be successful. He says, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. That's God's word to Joshua. Isaac, mentioned in Genesis 24, it says, went out to meditate in the field in the evening. David says, I think of you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. That's Psalm 63:6. Remember Eli, that old priest? What did he do? He sat down and he knew how to listen to God, and he helped Samuel to recognize the voice of God. Remember that little voice that was talking in the night all the time? Or Elijah spent many days and nights in the wilderness learning to discern the still small voice of Yahweh. You can find some of those passages in 1 Kings 19. Or how about the example of Peter in the New Testament? Peter. Your mind is going, Peter, Peter, Peter. He's the guy, you know, with the cloth, and all those different animals came in, the clean and the unclean. And that was God's way of telling him with a picture that the gospel was for all the people. But Peter was spending time with the Lord. He was meditating on the Lord and asking the Lord for direction. And then God spoke to him and told him what to do. All those leaders model for us what it means to meditate. And as a result, they got instruction for their life. It's real. It's personable. God and those leaders had relationship. What about Jesus? He's our ultimate example, right? Jesus, what did he do? It says in Matthew 14:13, he withdrew privately to a solitary place. What did he do there? He meditated, he prayed, and he talked to his father and asked his father for direction. So not only does the Bible tell us in all those places about meditation, we have leaders that model it. Jesus modeled it for us. You say, okay, how do I meditate then? What do I do to hear from God today if I'm not supposed to do all these other things? Well, first of all, I'd like to recommend one thing, and that is that we pause. Now, you're going to hear up here, you're going to get a whole row of P words. Okay? I did that on purpose. Kind of happened. But I did it on purpose so we can remember when we go home. Sometimes you need a little thingy to kind of hang on to. First of all, pausing. Pope Francis, when he gave his speech at the beginning of the new year, you know how he does his big address. One sentence caught me. And he said, we must spend more time in contemplation rather than in useless chatter. Contemplation, to me, being quite synonymous with meditation in this context. What is our useless chatter? If we're going to pause in our lives and get rid of the useless chatter, what might that be for you? What might it be for me? Internet, chat lines, Instagram, tweeting, Snapchat, Facebook, oh man, all kinds of social media stuff. Hey, we spend hours. I'm not going to do it. Don't do it. I thought, what if we would all just kind of pick up our phones, because we can't even be apart from them when we're in church, right? I had to remember to turn mine off. Can I take a pause from that thing? What about, do we value our busyness more than stopping and just considering? Eugene Peterson, in his preface to the message, he says, we need to take a pause in our life. And that's where I got the word from. We need to take a pause in our life. No shortcuts or tips here. It's just making sure that we take time for what's important. So how do we meditate? You need a pause. You need to take time for what's important. The psalmist says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Okay, I'm not telling you got to stop everything and all night you kind of like stand and pray. No. It's figuratively speaking of what you spend time on and what you fill your life with that's important, and it consumes you. Does your relationship with God and his word and getting direction from it consume you? That it's part of what you think about day and night. Is it really? Or do you just do it here on Sunday morning? How about all, I bet there's people in this room that wouldn't give up your workout in the gym for love nor money, because that's like what you value so much. Are you willing to pause and put meditation and God as the most important thing in your whole life, regardless of what else happened, because you say, I will absolutely not be able to exist unless I hear from God? Is it that important to you? So you're going to take a pause. That's how we meditate, first of all. Find some time for it. Then you're going to ponder. The Hebrew word for meditation is haga. I am not a Hebrew scholar. I looked this up, okay? But it means to ponder or to study. And I like that. We study the word of God, and it means like a quiet contemplation. We'll fill our minds, and remember, that's the contrast with Eastern meditations. We are to fill our minds with the word of God. Okay, now, in the pieces that we've looked at, it's not just the Torah, but it is the entire word of God, his entire revelation. We are to ponder this whole book, his general and his specific revelation. So look around you as well. He reveals himself to you in nature as well. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers. So if you're going to ponder that, you go, how do I ponder something? Okay, you can read something. Many of us, you know, you'll sit there and you read your Bible maybe when you do devotions, but are you really thinking about it? So when you read that first verse, pondering would be, What does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to be blessed? What does this verse say I have to do to be blessed? Thinking about what the Bible really says, okay? That's pondering it. Then the next P, you're going to paraphrase it or make it personal. If I'm going to be the blessed person, do I have to change how I go about things? In light of this scripture, what does that mean? I have to ponder it. I have to make it personal. Can I be more blessed than I already am? Make it personal. Paraphrase it. Talk to God about what it says in the scripture. So paraphrase it. And then pay attention. Now, this is the really crux of the matter here, my friends. A verse that has stuck to me most of my life is one that gives me direction that God still speaks today. It isn't just words in a book that was good for history and that I say, okay, this God and all the examples in this book, my friends, are real and they're alive for us today and they're life changing. They're only examples of how he wants to walk and talk with us today as well. So when we ponder the scriptures and we make it personal, then we pay attention and listen to what he wants to talk back to us and say to us on how we're to apply it to our lives. What does that sound like? Amos, one of my favorite verses that says he still speaks. He who forms the mountain, who creates the wind, and who reveals his thoughts to mankind, who turns dawn to darkness and treads upon the heights of the earth. The Lord Almighty is his name. Isn't that amazing? Who reveals his thoughts to man. I love that. Now you say, well, that's Old Testament. What about New Testament? Remember when Jesus died? What did he say? I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is with us today, guiding us into all truth. Pay attention. What is God saying to us? So you say, how does this work? Give me an example. Many of you know my story. Frank died. I started dating Al. I'm going, oh boy. Oh, he's up there listening. He does know I'm going to tell the story. But you know, at one point he asked me to marry him. Now that is a pretty big decision. Probably one of the biggest you have to make in your life. And I'm walking and, you know, many of you see me walking and doing, you know, up and down the roads and going, God, please speak to me. This is such a big, important decision in my life. Am I supposed to marry this guy or is he supposed to be a friend? I need your direction because if you, God, tell me that this is the man for me, then I'll go ahead with it. But otherwise, I'm going to make the biggest mistake of my life. And I didn't know what to do and didn't know what to do. And you know, anyways. And then one day, I wasn't even really praying about this at that moment. So out of some seemingly nowhere, I heard God say to me, I have given you a good gift. I went, okay. Now I know for sure. He gave me direction in my life. And we've been married 8 years now, and it's been a good decision. So he speaks in a variety of ways, through his scriptures, through that still small voice that you'll hear in your head that you just kind of go, I know that was God. You just know that you know because you're in relationship with him. And you just need to follow through with it. There was another time where during my single years, I was needing to make some financial decisions and I had nowhere to turn because I had no husband at the time for advice, and your financial matters are personal. You're not just going to go, like, talk to everybody about that stuff. So So I'm praying. I'm going, God, what am I going to do about this? I need to make a big decision here because I was going to change financial advisors, and that's a big deal. And I came to work here, actually, at the church one morning. And without an appointment or whatever, Stu Baker walks in. And many of you may know him or not, it doesn't matter, but during his working years, he's retired now, Stu was in the banking business. And he just knows about those kind of things. And so I said, hey, Stu, I said, do you know of a good financial advisor? And immediately he gave me the name of someone, and I've been with that person ever since. So not only does God speak through that little quiet voice, he speaks through other people, giving you direction because he knows what you need. He speaks in a variety of ways. Pay attention to what's going on around you. He may very well be answering your prayers, and you're missing it because you're not paying attention. So making sure that we listen. But there's also a caution I want to give here. In this listening, meditating kind of way, because this is how God wants to give us peace and give us direction. And so it's important that we do it, but we do it right, and he will never give you an instruction that's different from what he tells you in his word. So if it's a directive, make sure that it lines up with thinking and theology that's expressed in the word of God. So because, you know, I've seen people get kind of weird when they passionately follow God and don't check it with the Word of God. Okay, make sure it lines up. And the other thing on the contrast is studying the Word of God for accurate meaning without taking the time to meditate on it and apply it to your heart is also a very dry and dusty pathway. So you need to make sure that the Bible is guiding you along. And then the last thing is, the next P is pray. You need to apply it to your lives. If you see God, so if you've paused, you've pondered, you've paraphrased, what was the next thing? You're paying attention. What do you need to do? If you end up paying attention, if God says, Jean, marry Al, I'm probably going to go to the guy and say, yeah, I'm going to marry you. Okay? You got to follow through, and you've got to do it. Pray and activate and respond to what God's telling you to do. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, hero of the faith, this is what he said. Just as you do not analyze the words of someone you love, but accept them as they are said to you, accept the word of Scripture and ponder it in your heart, as Mary did. That is all. That is meditation. So what are the results of meditation? I love verse 3. You are going to be a tree. Oh, you're not laughing. It says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Are you going to be a tree? Strong, right? The winds climb. All kinds of things happen in our lives that blow against a tree. You know, we're symbolic of that tree, but that tree does not move. It doesn't go anywhere because those roots go deep. Those roots go deep. My friends, when you are meditating on the Word of God, pondering it, pausing for, making time for it, you will go deep in that, and no matter what life brings you, you will stand strong, and you don't have to go to all those other things that come along in the world. You don't have to find little Buddhas. My friend, Fern, you know what? That morning I sat with her at that kitchen table, and I said, have you considered Christianity? I said, this is what Jesus Christ did for you, and this is the direction that's in the Scriptures, and it's all available to you. Won't you consider it? And during the course of this winter, I've been in constant conversation with her. She's read the entire book of John, and she said, yeah, this makes sense. For the first time in my life, this makes sense. And she's been sleeping good. Okay? I can't wait to spend a summer of campfires with her and see what's going on and, you know, and seeing where that goes. My cousin in the Netherlands, not sure where it's at, haven't had any much conversation with her. My friends on First Avenue in Mission, anytime I get a chance, and it's not always appropriate and you got to be sensitive and, you know, but if there's an opening that I feel like the Spirit of God is talking to me, that this is the hope that that person needs, and I have permission to do that from Simon, because he too is a Christian, he says, anytime that you feel like that's the hope that somebody needs, he says, you tell him, Gene. How about you, my friends? If you have people in your life that need to know that this is the answer, are you telling them? We have the answers. Okay? This morning, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And we're going to pray, and we are going to spend some time with the Lord this morning as we listen to him give us direction in our lives. So would you pray with me, please? God, we long for peace and direction in our hurried lives. And we confess that we've been self-medicating to de-stress without going to the right place, and that's to you. Thank you that you desire to communicate with us. Please show us the way. Speak to us. And we ask not because we are worthy, but because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, there's people here in this room this morning that have been self-medicating, whether it's meditation of the wrong side and just emptying their minds to try and find peace, and every other addiction under the sun. God, you know their name, and they're sitting right here in this room this morning. I ask that you would speak to them by the power of your Spirit, because they don't know you. And I would ask that you would just say their name to them right now, in the quietness that they're listening and they go, that's me. God, I'd ask that they would know how much you love them and that you long to give them that peace that passes understanding that you promised to your children. Guide and direct them. And even now, God, I ask that they would surrender it all and say, have your way, God. I want to follow your way. Even now, this morning, we're just going to wait quietly while those people have time to do that and just surrender it all to Jesus. All you need to do is, I know that I've gone to the wrong ways, just put your own name in it. I confess. And God, now I want to follow you. Thank you that Jesus forgives my sins. They're blocked out, remembered no more. And now I want to follow the ways of you, Jesus. And there's others here this morning, God, that as they're praying, they can't even kind of enter in because there's just sin blocking. Willful sin. Coming here and pretending to be good people. And we all do that to an extent, but there's just things that some people have, God, in this room this morning that need to be confessed in the quiet privacy of their own mind, because you're bringing it to mind. Pay attention to what the Spirit is saying, my friends. If there's something he's bringing to mind right now that's blocking you in your relationship with him, just confess it. He is so faithful and desires relationship with you, and all he wants to do is come in. Just confess it. Say, I'm going to turn away from this thing. Thank you for forgiving me in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill me up in that void that's there now in my life, and so I may go forward with a new and a cleansed heart, ready to follow your direction in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's a new day. And many of us in this room want to go deeper, God. We confess that we don't pause nearly often enough. We spend way too much time on so many things in this world and not you. And we too want peace and direction in our life, but we don't even pause long enough to spend time with you. Father, please forgive us. Please forgive us. You are the answer, and we know that in our heads. I ask that you would help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to apply it in our lives. And now, God, I ask, just boldly, but in your name, that you would make yourself so real to each one of us in this room this morning about how much you love us. About a direction that you may have for us. We long to hear your voice. Some of us haven't heard it for a very long time. We wait on you, Lord, this morning to speak. Just to speak. And while the worship team, you're going to play the song, Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here. While just stay seated, let them play softly, quietly over you. There's a communication card in front of you. If you hear God saying something to you, stay in a spirit of prayer. Ponder what God's saying. This is your moment. You don't even have to pause. You're here in church. Just write something down. Maybe it's for somebody else that you're feeling like that you want to give it to them or have a word with them after we're done praying. You're just longing to hear your voice. Tell God that. Tell God that you want to hear his voice, that you want to hear from him.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. And I've tasted and seen. Sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence.
And the Lord says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. There is time to come forward and pray. I'm going to ask the prayer partners to come forward as we're singing the last songs. And, you know, if some of this just you say, I want more, if this has been a morning where you said, you know what, I've screwed up, I haven't even done any of that for a long time, come forward and pray. Ask for an impartation to hear God's voice because you haven't heard it for a long time. Whatever. And maybe you come down with a friend. It doesn't have to be here. Maybe it's up there. But don't leave here today. Don't leave here today without saying, I'm going to make a renewed effort to meditate on God and His Word for my peace and my direction in life. God bless you.